It's time for our weekly political chat with the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross.
Kia ora, Jamie Lee. How are you today?
Hey, Kelly. Good to be with you.
You too. What's going on in your life?
Well, I was just listening to your intro. You sound very busy. I didn't know you were so busy on a Friday.
We are so busy on a Friday because it's like the end of the week and there's so much news that happens and we're wrapping it all up.
And you are the star, you know, wire producer and analyst and person all wrapped up in one. Sounds great.
Not quite. I wouldn't be able to do it with these two lovely people sitting here next to me. But I thought we would talk a little bit about the tourism tax that is being implemented by the government, supposedly coming in end of next year, about $25 to $35 per tourist. What does National think of that?
Oh, like with all of Labor's new taxes, we're pretty sceptical. Look, our tourism industry is it's a great part of New Zealand. A lot of people want to come here every year, but the reality is we are a long way from the rest of the world. It is expensive to get to New Zealand, and we're just concerned that if you were to make New Zealand more difficult to get to from a cost perspective, and if you're talking families of four, five or six, you know, large families, the cost would be getting up there. We in government did invest a lot of money into a tourism infrastructure fund. We gave the ability for the Department of Conservation to upgrade a lot of tourist facilities and provided money for that. We attracted more hotel investment. We did a lot for tourism, but it can be done without the need for new taxes. And like with all of Labor's new taxes, we're pretty sceptical.
I saw a study that recently came out by the tourism industry that showed about approximately $700 per tourist that, you know, of revenue that they bring to the government, but that wasn't being put into anything to do with tourism infrastructure. Do you think we need more money that goes into purely infrastructure and conservation efforts because of the growing tourism?
Well, that's an argument for more government funding being allocated to tourism, not to go and tax tourists even more and making it more difficult to get here, which is effectively what Labor's doing. You're absolutely right, though. When a tourist comes to New Zealand, they pay for the cost of their accommodation, they pay for all the activities that they do, that employs people. There's a lot of PAYE every time someone gets paid. There's a lot of GST paid every time there's a movement of money between businesses and from the tourists themselves as well. So tourism does generate a lot of revenue for the government. The reason why we're opposed to so many of these taxes from Labor is because it appears the first port of call for everything that they want to do almost is just to tax more. I mean, they went and cancelled a whole range of tax cuts that we had in place. They're putting in the tax on petrol up to 25 cents a litre. They've got the new tourism tax. There are other taxes out there they're working on through the tax working group. I mean, if Labor really wants to do good things for the country, and not everything that they do we oppose, but if they want to do good things, they should really look at their current spending, not look currently at what taxes are available to ramp up on people.
If this tax does go through, which it's been proposed, it's looking like it will, Tourism Holdings Chief Exec says he thinks we should spend it all on the increase of infrastructure. Obviously, environmental groups are thinking it should be spent more on conservation and, keeping our country as clean and as green as we can with this huge increase that's happening. Do you think it should be an even split or should we put more into infrastructure or conservation?
Oh, look, I'm not sure that I'm qualified to say exactly where the needs are. What I can say is we put $100 million into tourism infrastructure, but a lot of, and we put $75 into conservation infrastructure as well. But a lot of what happens every day on a day-to-day basis by governments and councils do go towards tourism. So, you know, when you build new roads and upgrade the roads like we were doing to make them safer, the tourists that use those roads are going to benefit from that. When you have a council that sets up a new facility that can be used by the local community, but also tourists, that benefits tourism as well. When they go and make RMA decisions, which allow for new developments, which will have tourism attractions in place as well, that benefits tourism. So I don't think you can just say things that are solely ring-fenced for tourism are all that we do for tourism. Everything we do in the country, often in some way, there's some tourist element to it. There's also domestic tourism too. And domestic tourists are a big part of our economy and how it grows. So I don't think we should just look at only those coming from overseas.
Fair call. All right, we'll move on to the recording that has been released this week by you. Is that correct?
Well, as a local MP, some individuals that were very concerned about David Clarke and what he'd been doing, I did have some people come to me as a local MP, and that's part of what you do as your job as a local MP. But more importantly, we have people out there who have seen David Clarke in person and now heard him on voicemails. He lied about what he was told by County Manukau DHB when he was found out to have misled the public. He had attempts by his office to shut down the chief executive when she wanted to release some information that was contradictory. He also left a voicemail on the chair of the board's voicemail, which effectively was, hey, the media coverage out there is unhelpful to me as minister, which is what he was basically saying. Mm. By the way, there are future appointments that I'd consider you for. That is effectively dangling jobs in front of someone to try and silence them. I don't think that meets the standard of the Cabinet Manual, which says ministers must at all times act lawfully and at the with the highest ethical standards. And I think the Prime Minister should really be questioning whether her Minister of Health is acting appropriately.
I mean, moving on to that sort of consequential side of things, do you think this is enough of a... well, not scandal, but, you know, something that's happened that should see him step down or just have some sort of...
I think the Prime Minister should look at this very carefully. Her ministers are required to act ethically. A Minister of the Crown has dangled jobs in front of a board member to try and silence them. His office has put pressure on the Chief Executive of the DHB not to release information that would have contradicted the Minister. The CEO's email to her own board said... they expect me to, quote-unquote, suck it up. That's not acting appropriately as a minister. And just remember, the heart of this all is that David Clarke went to a district health board, then went out in the media and said they didn't give me the information I require to make decisions. The district health board said to him, and there are text messages from the board chair to the minister saying, I gave you that information, you're damaging our reputation. Yet he continued to perpetuate what I call as a lie. That's at the heart of it here, and it's been backed up, that lie has been backed up by a voicemail where he tried to keep someone quiet by dangling jobs. The Prime Minister should be looking at it. He is her minister, it's her cabinet manual, it's her government, and she's required to uphold high standards within it.
Just finally, your time in government, have you ever seen anything else like this? Has this ever been done by anybody?
I've never seen a minister leave a voicemail for someone saying, if you be quiet... that would be helpful. By the way, there's other appointments out there that I could look at for you. I mean,
not so this bribing sort of thing isn't a common. I mean, I suppose for some people outside of government, it can be sceptical, and you can sort of wonder how much of this goes on behind closed doors. But this is, are you saying this is quite a uncommon occurrence?
Oh goodness, yes. I mean, some people have described it to me in very strong terms that I'm not quite sure I would want to repeat. But this is at a level where a chief executive and a board chair, both very professional and experienced people, are being silenced by a minister offering jobs in the future. I don't think it gets to the point at all within that scenario where you could say it was appropriate. And I'm surprised we haven't heard from the Prime Minister yet.
Amazing. Thank you so much for joining us this week, Jamie Lee. And we'll chat to you next week. I'm sure there'll be a bit more happening with that story by then. So interesting to hear.
Thanks, Kelly. Have a good day.
That was the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross. The Wire.